Good evening, geeks. Welcome to Nerdstravaganza Podcast, episode 130. I am Brian, and tonight I am joined by a new host.
That's me. How you doing, guys?
Cameron is joining us while Tom is still away. We're thankful for that. I was tired of monologuing.
Happy to be here.
Tonight's episode will be a short introduction to Cameron and why he's here, so our audience can get to know the crew. But first, our weekly roundup. Cameron, why don't you tell us what you did this week?
All right, great. This week was pretty packed. Started off last weekend with Animate, the South Florida anime, art, comic, everything sort of rolled into one con. At the Miami Beach Convention Center. It was pretty amazing. Went on Saturday, met a lot of great new people, had some fun tabletop gaming with a lot of old friends that were there as well. Picked up some cool swag, you know, some stuff for my collection, some comics and other things that I've sort of been looking for. All in all, that was a pretty great experience. Saw Big Hero, which was a pretty great movie. I really enjoyed it and spent a lot of time tabletop gaming at my normal haunt, the Adventure Game Store, which, Brian, I know you frequent as well.
I have been there once or twice.
That was great. A lot of good new titles came out this week. Sheriff of Nottingham, King of New York came out. The Seven Wonders Babel expansion came out. So basically just spent hours and hours playing through those and having a great time. And that's about it for me.
That's a full week. That's actually much more impressive than mine. I did, of course, spend Thursday night gaming with you and the crowd at the Adventure Game Store. Sheriff of Nottingham really knocked my socks off. That's a game that I knew I was going to love from the way people described it, and it just did not let me down at all. That was so much fun.
Absolutely. And it's funny, I'm sure we'll talk about it a little bit more, you know, in depth later on in the episode, but I have some pretty interesting thoughts on it, because I think, you know, the way we were playing it was pretty cool, but I think there's a lot of other ways to play it, which is always a good sign of a sign of a great game.
It was not until the very last round that it kind of clicked with me. We're all looking out for ourselves. No one's going after anybody.
Exactly. And I think that was a function of our group, because our group's pretty laid back and, you know, they're all nice people. I had a sort of a different experience Sunday night when I played with another group of friends, and it sort of turned into me and another a friend of mine, Jenna, who she and I play together quite often. And she and I sort of teamed up. So it was like she would let my goods go through, I would let her goods go through, and we ended up running away with the game. You know, it was basically then just came down to who could stack as many points as they could between her and I, you know, to be the winner. You know, at first I thought maybe the game was broken, but then, you know, as you and I played on Thursday, I sort of saw that, well, it's just a totally different dynamic. It's up to the other players to notice that and then try to stop you, basically.
I love a game that can change so much depending on who you're playing it with.
Right.
And I don't think either one was really wrong, because it sounds like both were fun, and it sounds like both, maybe you did win, but it could have been stopped.
Absolutely.
I like that a lot. So I recommend everybody check out Sheriff of Nottingham.
As do I. It's a great game.
And the rest of my week was spent at Chibipa, one of my, it was not my very first, but it was one of my first anime conventions. And I've always liked anime conventions a little bit more than anime, comic, sci-fi, Star Trek conventions. So it's got a little special place in my heart.
Yeah, that's one of my perennial favorites as well. Chibipa. It's always, you know, it's a little smaller than the normal cons, but in a way I think it's great because it's a lot more intimate.
They know they'll never be 50,000 people, but they know that the 2,000 to 3,000 people going just love it and have a ton of fun.
Yeah, and I respect that. I mean, they know their niche. They stick to it. They're not trying to be the, you know, big scattershot cons that you see, you know, all over the place, which are fine and have their place. But it's nice to go there and know exactly what you're getting.
I think it's nice. Just like I think Sheriff can be played different ways or whatever, I think it's great that our community has grown to support different kinds of conventions. Radically different conventions, but I think there's room.
Absolutely. I think there's such a varied interest in the community, and, you know, just obviously with social media and all that stuff, it just can, you can find anything you want pretty much wherever you want, whenever you want these days. And it's nice that, you know, there are so many options.
I think options is a great way to transition, now that we've talked about our weeks, into a little about you, what kind of nerd you are, why you're here, why you would want to do this, because it's obviously not just the lavish lifestyle and the hordes of screaming fans.
Well, I mean, you know, you and I have known each other for quite a while, good friends. You know, we met obviously through our love of tabletop gaming, which has always been a huge passion of mine since I was a kid. We also share a love of comics, which, you know, I can't remember a time where I didn't have a comic book in my hand as a kid. All things, quote unquote, geeky, nerdy, sci-fi, gadgets. It's just always been my, you know, a passion of mine. And I've been a big fan of the show for quite a while, and, you know, have been coming to the Adventure Game Store for quite a while, listening to the show for quite a while. And I'm just happy and grateful to have the opportunity to sit here and talk about the stuff we love with you and Tom and the rest of the guys. And I hope we can bring something to the listeners that they enjoy as well. And, you know, we're not just sitting here stroking ourselves, basically.
So you're a big tabletop fan.
Big tabletop fan, big, you know, online gamer, console more so than PC. But hey, you know, we're all cut from the same cloth, right? Huge into anime, huge into sci-fi, science fiction genre reading. You know, I'm not trying to make it sound like, oh, you know, I was into this before it was cool. I mean, I think anyone who gets into it, it's great. But you know, it's just something I've loved since I was a kid. I mean, comics, I have, you know, as I'm sure you do as well. I've never seen your collection, but, you know, I've got just stacks and stacks and stacks of comics that I've accumulated over the years. And it's really interesting to me now, sort of the dynamic of the online comic resources, because I see Marvel now, you can pretty much get their whole catalog for like $9.99 a month, a la Netflix type arrangement, which I think is definitely something I've subscribed to, and I'm sort of making my way through. It's a little different because I like to feel the paper in my hand, but absolutely, it just exposes you to a whole new group, a whole new set of comics that you might not otherwise have been able to read or would have read. Just went to Tate's big sale and you know, picked up some back issues there. Like I said, at Animate, picked up a few issues that I'd been missing and was happy to find. I love it. You know, to me, it's a passion, and I don't think a day goes by without me reading at least one or two comics.
So now that you have an endless supply at your fingertips, thanks to the streaming service, did you actually crack open and read the rarities you picked up, or are they straight in Mylar?
Well, the ones that are certified, I haven't taken out. But the ones that were just in the Mylar with the with the cheesy cardboard backing that we all know and love, I did pull those out and thumb through them.
So you're a fellow textile reader. The digital does the job, but just isn't the same.
Absolutely. I mean, look, if I'm in a pinch, if I'm driving a long distance, or, you know, I'm on a plane or something, you know, e-readers and audiobooks, or, you know, obviously we're we're a podcast, so you know, we rely on people that like to listen to the spoken word. Those will always do. But if I can help it, I love to read. And you know, obviously the gorilla in the room this weekend is Mockingjay, which came out, and I'm sure will do huge numbers. And I'm looking forward to seeing that after reading the books. You know, of course, I'll always prefer the book over the movie, but, you know, it's always nice to see things brought to life on screen as well.
I think you're going to fit in just fine here. As long as I'm not alone, number one, in preferring to read a real physical book, and number two, in not being someone who just hates on Hunger Games because it was popular.
Oh, no, absolutely. I think, like I said, you know, like I alluded to earlier, I think the popularity only helps things. I don't really get into that snobby elitist, well, you know, I liked this before it was cool type thing, because, you know what, even if someone wasn't into it before me, but now they are because of a Hollywood blockbuster movie, or perfect example, Game of Thrones, or if someone then reads some George R. R. Martin because they watch Game of Thrones on HBO, then hey, I think that's a win for everybody. You know, Mockingjay sort of represents that as well. You know, you're going to get a ton of people exposed to things that they might not have otherwise been exposed to. And that's a great thing. And, you know, I don't hate on it just because it's successful, unless you're talking about Twilight. But, you know, we won't go into that.
But you don't have to hate on that because it was successful. There's a lot of reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
I think sort of the stuff it's okay to hate on.
Right. Yeah. It's sort of the Justin Bieber of literary works.
Sparkling vampires. Yes. I didn't believe people. I thought that was just a metaphor.
Even if it was, I don't think it would have saved it.
Oh, God. So you'll be in the theater this week for Mockingjay, or?
I will. You know, obviously it's the Thanksgiving weekend's coming up. My brother is coming down. He lives up in Orlando. I'm waiting. I'm going to have to wait for him to come. In the past, I would tell him I would wait and I'd go see it anyway, you know, go see a movie we wanted to see anyway. But I made a promise to him that I would wait. We're probably going to go Thanksgiving Day or maybe the day after.
Not gonna sneak this one in.
No, I told him I'd wait and I'd feel pretty crummy if even though he'd never know. Well, unless he listens to the podcast.
Yeah, now he might.
Exactly.
Retroactively mad at you for all those other movies.
Exactly.
I didn't think you laughed when you should have.
Yeah, some of the Lord of the Rings movies definitely fit into that category for sure.
I got to admit, I don't think I can get on board with you for the Lord of the Rings stuff. They're just pale comparisons of the books, and I cannot be happy that so many people have been exposed to kind of sort of Lord of the Rings through the movies.
Well, I would agree with you on the most recent iteration with The Hobbit. But departures aside, I really enjoyed the first three movies, the Lord of the Rings movies. You know, obviously The Hobbit, especially the last one, was a little off the mark. Well, I'd say a lot off the mark. But, you know, hopefully they reined it in for the next one.
Ooh, I am so worried. I guess we'll find out soon. It's in some month, isn't it?
It is. It's. I think it comes out in the middle of December, I believe.
The Battle of the Five Armies, the only five armies.
Yes, which is also a great game that I just picked up from the Adventure Game Store. The Battle of the Five Armies War of the Ring tabletop game. Looking forward to playing that on a Thursday night, one of these weeks.
Is that a movie tie-in, or is that more of an original property? Or?
Well, I don't know if it's directly tied to the movie, but I can't believe that it's a coincidence that it came out so close to the movie. but no, I don't think it's a you know, like the pictures aren't, you know, of Legolas aren't, you know, of the actor that plays him in the movie or anything like that.
Toriel on the cover?
No, I definitely not, or I probably would have passed it up. But yeah, it's the War of the Ring tabletop series has always been a big, big, big favorite of mine. And so I was excited to pick that up as well.
I mean, you mentioned it before, but tabletop's kind of big to you, huh?
Tabletop is huge. You know, I play, obviously, every Thursday night with you at AGS. I play typically on Sunday nights as well, which is another AGS-sponsored event at Falcon Pub, which you and I have talked about. And, you know, I typically will get together with just some, you know, some friends at my house a lot as well. And, you know, at least once a week, if not, you know, every 2 weeks, and just play some games that, you know, that we like.
I guess Sheriff of Nottingham excluded. What's your current favorite?
Current favorite probably would be Splendor, I would say. Splendor is always a big, you know, go-to favorite of mine. I really, really also like Biblios, which is a fun little game, quick but easy to play, and easy to get people, sort of non-gamers, involved. Splendor takes a little more nuanced, you know, it takes a little more to sort of catch up with on that. But Biblios is a fun game as well.
Another game, you can do anything in that game and still, some of the time at least, win. I like that. You can pick the cards you want, buy the cards in the auction to screw with people. You can only trump up the things that you're going after. Very versatile. I love that.
Biblios, absolutely. It's and it's really it's you know it's I've played games where you sort where I've sort of changed my strategy three times during you know from the beginning, middle, and end, and you can still end up winning or you know sometimes you end up with no points whatsoever, but that's the fun of it, I think.
I think the first time I played that was actually with Tim from Yellow.
I would have never been exposed to Biblios if it wasn't for Tim, who demoed it for us that day. And now it's in my heavy rotation.
I think that helped me like it a little bit more. Like, wow, one of the guys is sitting down to teach us.
Yeah.
That was cool.
That was really cool.
I think a positive experience with the company really helped me like that game a little bit more, which kind of brings us up to something in the news these days. I've always been a huge fan of Fantasy Flight games, which I believe did make or does make your War of the Rings.
I believe, yeah, they started out with the original War of the Ring franchise, and then it then passed to Ares Games. But I don't know the exact hierarchy, whether or not Ares is owned by Fantasy Flight or is in their portfolio. But big news for Fantasy Flight right now is that they've merged with Asmodee, which is a huge French game maker and has basically consolidated themselves into a huge company with that acquisition. I'm a little concerned. You know, I love the games of both makers. I'm just worried now that you know whenever you get two competitors, you know, making one big company, you've always got to be worried about competition and price, and you always want new fresh titles to come out, and you want them to come out at a price that's reasonable to the consumer. You don't want them just setting the market and making everyone pay through the nose for games that, especially games in their portfolio that are just, I mean, household names. If you're a gamer, War of the Ring, Game of Thrones, board games, Battlestar Galactica, Bloodbound, which is another game that Tim showed us that you and I know we love, Eldritch Horror, Elder Sign. The list goes on and on with Fantasy Flight and Asmodee. Obviously, they have huge titles like Seven Wonders, Eclipse. The list goes on and on with them. So hopefully, as they, you know, as the merger takes effect and as they move forward, we're not going to see an uptick in prices for titles that, you know, let's be honest, people are going to buy no matter what. And I'd like to think that they're not going to take advantage of that. But it's corporate America. They're going to probably do what they're going to do.
Well, whatever. Hopefully corporate France is a little bit different.
One would hope, right? But, you know, at the end of the day, they have shareholders that they want to make happy. And let's see if they balance that with taking price into consideration for us everyday gamers.
I was initially very excited about this just because I was thinking of Fantasy Flight's distribution with some of the, I hesitate to call them smaller, but perhaps lesser known Asmodee games.
Right.
Because one of my favorite games is the Timeline series.
Absolutely.
It is just, I can't describe a more fun game. And there's five, six versions of the same game, depending on what you're into. If you're into nature, there's a version. If you're into American history, there's a version. If you're into world history, there's a version. But it seems to be kind of a smaller game that I guess people, they're not even exposed to for them to pick up and for them to buy. So I was initially very, I think, naively enthusiastic that maybe Fantasy Flight would just publish everything, all the rarities from overseas. But having read a little bit more about it, it looks a little bit more like less of a merger and more of a just straight Asmodee picked them up. And
yeah, I think they just, I mean, they're calling it a merger, but it's, I believe Asmodee is probably going to end up the quote unquote surviving company. You know, I'm sure the Fantasy Flight brand won't go away because obviously it has a ton of value, but I think Asmodee is going to be running the show. And let's see what they do. I mean, you know, I haven't been too unhappy with them thus far in terms of their distribution and how they market games. But, you know, you bring up a good point with Timeline, which is also a huge favorite of mine. The Inventions one is actually my favorite. It's going to be interesting to see after the first of the year what they really start pushing. You know, I think only time will tell at this point.
And I'm dying to see what they do with the licenses, because I guess you buy the licenses too, right? And then Asmodee can kind of make Star Wars stuff through Fantasy Flight, right?
Right. Well, I would assume, you know, without seeing the documents, of course, I would assume right. that I would assume that they're acquiring any of the assets that is, you know, are owned or licensed by Fantasy Flight, which would include, I guess, the Star Trek stuff. But, you know, that's probably a license, and I don't, you know, it's I don't know how long they have the license for. So, you know, they've had it for quite a while, I believe. So, you know, who knows if that's something that will that they'll pick back up if it's there's a renewal period or something like that. But if they have it for any prolonged period of time, I think it would be pretty lackadaisical on their part not to take advantage of it, especially with all the, you know, having a resurgence with the new movies coming out pretty soon.
I know you've picked up the podcast and listened to a lot of the older episodes,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think the impact of our record would affect you listening to old episodes. We actually have kind of a record for predicting the future, and I want to call it right now. We're going to see a Star Wars timeline.
You think so? That would be great. I mean, it's something I would buy for sure.
I would wither and die from playing that game. That would be so much fun.
I would absolutely buy one. Probably two or three copies. You know me. I like to stock up.
They could like actually iron out the real canon timeline and not have to worry about like, you know, this new movie changing anything and have like a little bit of history lessons. What happened in 4ABY?
Oh, you mean they're not going to just totally disregard Wrath of Khan? Is that no, that's definitely something I would be interested in. And, sounds like it wouldn't be too tough for them to make. I mean, obviously they'd have to pull their researchers out of the closet, but, that would be something that I think fans would really, really go for.
And to address your concern, they might be able to gouge me a little bit on that one.
Yeah. You know, I think MSRP on timeline is, you know, 12 to 15 bucks. They, you know, maybe they can get away with 20, by saying that they had to put extra research into getting the canon right. I don't know, whatever they have to tell me. Either way, I'm sure I'll buy one as well.
Yeah. Or two or three.
Right.
What's something that the audience should know about you that maybe is outside of our usual realm?
Well, Tom, I'm sure the listeners have heard many times talk about Disney, and I'm a huge Disney fan as well. But I would say more than a Disney fan, I'm an amusement park fan in general. I love roller coasters, love hitting amusement parks. I've been to several, you know, all over the country. Been to Euro Disney, which was an experience. And it's funny you mentioned that there is a amusement park in Germany. Zandt, Germany, Zandt. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but their big claim to fame, which probably will get me to buy a ticket to Germany at this point, is that they have just created the world's largest robot. And that robot is a walking, fire-breathing dragon. It actually is ambulatory and moves around the park, breathes fire, and is part of, I believe, a parade that they do. You can be sitting there while a big fire-breathing dragon, a la D&D, I mean, it looks very much like a D&D dragon, breathes fire and walks by you. It's something that is definitely to my bucket list.
Oh my God, that sounds so cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's 56 foot long and about 27 feet tall. From everything I've seen online, I mean, it just looks killer.
I can't believe it's in the parade.
Yeah, it's funny. The pictures online, you see little kids sitting on the sideline, then this just big dragon walking by them. It's got to be a surreal experience.
I'm gonna have to check that out. We'll post in the show notes, of course. But before that, I'm checking it out.
The name of the amusement park escapes me right now, but it is, if it's anything as advertised, it's well worth the price of a flight and admission.
I cannot imagine what I would pay just to see a dragon, like a real dragon, even if I knew it was a robot.
I guess there was one previous to that that was kind of similar. There's a pretty large theme park in Ohio called Kings Island, which I've been to, and they had something called the Soro Poseidon, which was a robot critter sort of slash dragon. It was technically larger than the dragon that's in Germany, but it wasn't, it didn't move. It wasn't like a robot. It was sort of one of those animatronic type things. So as of now, the Zant Germany dragon is reigning supreme in the Guinness Book of World Records. The name they've given to the dragon is Tridino. I don't know exactly what that means, but I'm sure it has some cool translation in German. It's a sight to see, I'm sure.
I feel trumped. I feel that should have been in my usual circle.
It's one of those weird news flashes that sort of came across my phone, and I was like, what is this? And then all of a sudden I was like, wow, this is a flight I need to book.
Can you top that? Is there anything to follow that, or is that it?
Well, I mean, bad news for PSN users, it's been hacked again. So I would, I don't know if it tops the giant fire-breathing dragon, but, if you've got a PSN account and password, I'd probably go change that right now, after listening to the rest of the podcast, of course.
Again, like you say.
Yeah. Yeah, and the only other thing is, I'm really into environmental rights and, living green and things like that. I drive a hybrid, and I've talked many times about just green issues and things like that. Part of my profession, I work on green construction and things like that. But speaking of Germany, there is a company in Germany that has made a claim. We'll see if it pans out, but they've made a claim that they can make gasoline from water and airborne CO2, which would, obviously be revolutionary, based on, our use of fossil fuels. But I guess in the cosmic scheme of things, that would be bigger than a fire-breathing dragon, but, much lower on the cool factor.
Now, I have to ask, just because you were so enthusiastic for it a second ago, how green can a giant fire-breathing walking robot be?
I'm sure it is a environmental nightmare, but it's so cool that I probably would be okay with it. I mean, it's got to be a huge use of energy and fuels, but hey, I mean, it's a fire-breathing dragon. What can you say?
So it loses points, but it's got personality.
Exactly.
All right.
Speaking of exceptions to my green passion, if you want to call it that, I'm a huge gadget guy. I love robots, love gadgets, loved my iPhone 6 Plus when it first came out. I am decidedly an Apple guy, but I have to say that I'm extremely disappointed with the latest software update. When I first got my phone, the battery would just last for days. My internet speed was just, it was just amazing how fast my internet was. And ever since I downloaded the update, my battery has just been shot. I can't go through more than half a day without having to charge it again. And, the internet is just terribly slow. I mean, slower than even on my 5. So I'm going to have to look into that. I'm definitely not a fan of the new update. I'm going to try to see if I can recover my previous iCloud version, and seeing if I can, maybe just wipe my phone and go back to the day before I downloaded the update, because I'm just not happy with that at all.
I was very jealous. I'm not really an Apple guy. I'm kind of not an Apple guy, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And I remember you talking about how long your battery was lasting, and I was really jealous, because mine kind of doesn't make it through an 8-hour day. I'm sorry. I think my negative vibes caused that. I apologize.
I'm sure it wasn't your negative vibes. I don't know if any of the listeners identify or have done the update. All I could say is, if you haven't done it yet, don't do it. And if you have, write us, post on Facebook, if you have any kind of solution, because the only thing I could come up with at this point is to just wipe my phone and go back to a date prior to the update. Which, I'm sure that's probably the best solution. But if there's a solution to keep the good stuff from the update and do away with the bad, obviously I'd prefer to do that and not wipe my phone. But hey, I got to do what I got to do, because this battery, I didn't make it to 3 o'clock today without having to plug my phone in, which is extremely disappointing.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Well, just in case I had anything to do with it, very sorry. If I didn't, someone hopefully can post a better solution than scorch and burn.
If you like Android, God bless you. But I don't know that buying Android would be a helpful comment. But hey, any news is good news, right?
Yeah.
post whatever you like. We're happy to hear from you either way. So yeah, those are, you know, some of the things that I'm really interested in. And, you know, hopefully over the weeks to come, we'll talk about, you know, some other things that I like and that you like, and, you know, hopefully the audience is into, and, that should be fun. I mean, I'm really looking forward to it, and I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're happy to have you aboard, man. I'm looking forward to new blood, new perspectives. Should be good. Should be good.
Absolutely. Can't wait.
We hope you've enjoyed meeting Cameron. We hope you're looking forward to what he's going to help us bring you in the future. And we hope you enjoy our episodes. If you do, be sure to rate them and leave comments on iTunes, or like us and comment on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and add us to your circle on G+.
And if you prefer to stream instead of download, check us out on Stitcher. You can also check out back episodes and all of our other content at www.nerdstravaganza.com, or you can email us directly at nerdstravaganza@gmail.com.
That's it for this week. See you next week.
Take it easy, guys.